This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن إبراهيم لحليم أواه منيب يا إبراهيم أعرض عن هذا إنه قد جاء أمر ربك وإنهم آتيهم عذاب غير مردود رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد Once again, everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. So today, as I talk to you about ayahs 85 and 86, what I wanted to do was talk to you first about ayah number 86, because in a sense, it is a direct continuation of what I was talking about before, which nations has Allah condemned that we were talking about last time, right? And it reinforces that. In the middle, Allah interjected with qualities, personality traits of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So I wanted to hold that off for last and kind of focus on that. And I'll talk about the benefits of putting that in the middle anyway. Anyway, so Allah Azza wa Jal turns his attention to Ibrahim alayhi salam and says, Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hadha. Or it is the angels who said it, which means the same thing. It is it's coming from Allah. Ibrahim, ignore this. Ibrahim, ignore this. Now, we have to take a step back again. When we read the stories in the Quran or we read the incidents in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one very important factor, you know, in studying those stories is Allah is the he's not just the teller of the story. He is the designer, the architect, the author of the story. In other words, what people came into contact with each other, what was said, what was the reaction. None of this was unanticipated. Allah is all-knowing, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal knows that when the angels are going to come to his house, he's going to be afraid. Allah Azza wa Jal already knows that when he gives them the good news, the angels give him the good news of a child, that they're going to have a reaction and they're going to want to, Ibrahim's going to want to know more. I hear a really cute baby and it's again distracting me again. Where is this baby? He's all the way over there? This kid's got lungs. I just, mashallah. Anyway. Do you hear that? Wow. Okay. Anyway, I'll ignore it. I don't know why I can't ignore it. I used to be head of a preschool, and I heard all kinds of crying and banter and laughter and attempted murder. And none of it like used to affect me. Anyway, I've gotten soft. Anyway, so Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah wanted him to know that Lut's nation is going to be destroyed. And Allah Azza wa Jal knew that he's going to have a reaction. And Allah Azza wa Jal knew that he's going to ask about it and negotiate a timeline to be delayed. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal knew all of this. And this was designed by Allah. This entire conversation is designed by Allah. And, you know, the tafsir, the explanation that perhaps, no, Nuh, Lut alayhi salam or Ibrahim alayhi salam was only asking to spare the nation of Lut because he was worried about Lut. Other than that, he couldn't care less. Right, this explanation doesn't fit with what some of the things I said yesterday that even Imam Razi was highlighting. But on top of that, then the ayah, Inna Ibrahim ala halimun awahun munibun, it takes away from that. Ibrahim alayhi salam is extremely sensitive and, you know, forbearing. We're going to dig deep into halim today. And the word awah, he feels the pain. What does he feel? Only pain for Lut alayhi salam and no one else. And he's turning back to, and then, so it's not consistent with the story. He is actually concerned about those sinners, those people doomed for destruction. But then Allah does this to him for the second time in his life. The first time in his life, he was praying for who? You remember? He was praying for his father, right? And then Allah had to inform him that Allah made it clear to him, no, this is an enemy to Allah. Now you have to separate paths from him. So there's actually this really difficult subject, really powerful subject, and a delicate one, a powerful one and a delicate one that we have to understand. On the one side of it is our humanity. The man loves his father. He doesn't want his father to be doomed, right? On the other hand, he loves Allah and he's absolutely in surrender to Allah's verdict. So when Allah's verdict finally comes that his father is condemned, that he is an enemy to Allah, then at that point, Ibrahim alayhi salam's love for Allah is so powerful that he's willing to what? you know, surrender the love that he had for his father and tabarra'a minhu. I have nothing to do with him, right? This line had to be drawn in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were people that were enemies of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. They wanted him dead. They were thirsty for his blood, but they were blood relatives of the Sahaba. So they're cousins, brother, father, mother, etc. of a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So someone they love is someone who hates the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they were put in this test. And the reason this is being mentioned to you guys now is actually Allah Azza wa Jal put Ibrahim alayhi salam test and their test, and he actually referenced the tabarru of Ibrahim alayhi salam, meaning when Ibrahim alayhi salam separated himself from his father, he actually referenced that to the Sahaba that they may have to do this also. Because when Allah made it clear to them that some of these people in Makkah that have picked up arms against the Prophet have attempted to kill him, they are the enemy of Allah and His Messenger, no matter who they were to you relationship-wise. That line is now drawn. So he said, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ. He said, you will not find a people who have deep love for Allah and His Messenger, that they can, you know, believe in Allah and His Messenger, and they at the same time share love with those who have opposed Allah and His Messenger, meaning they've tried to kill him. They've waged war against Allah and His Messenger. You can't have both loves at the same time. But this ayah is about, again, context is important. When these ayat were revealed about the Sahaba, Allah did not give them this ayah when they were in Makkah. When they were living in Makkah with their own family and their family hated Islam, Allah did not say this to them. Allah said this to them when they moved to Medina, and now the escalation has gotten to the point that those people entered the battlefield thirsty for the Prophet's blood. Now they've taken a step at which the line is drawn in the sand. These people, they used to be family, now they are enemies to Allah and His Messenger. Those people, you cannot have love for them anymore. Before then, maybe they'll make tawbah, maybe they'll come around, that's between them and Allah. You know, and I still worry, I still pray for them, all of it. But after a certain point, no, that's over with, right? So the same way, early in Makkah, you find the Prophet ﷺ is making dua for the guidance of, you know, even including people like Abu Jahl, right? But then he's on the battlefield. That's the line. It's done now. So the same way here with Ibrahim alayhi salam, he doesn't know how far things have escalated with the people of Lut. He knows the angels are coming, so the destruction's on the verge. How close we are to destruction, he's not clear. So he's negotiating on their behalf. But Allah Azza wa Jalla informed him, nope, it's past negotiation. Allah allowed him to negotiate first and then told him this, you see? Allah could have told him this ahead of time and then he wouldn't have even said anything because he understands bara'a. You know, inna bura'a'u minkum wa mimma ta'buduna min dunillahi. These are the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah made it clear, he told his father, he told his nation, we have nothing to do with you and whatever you worship other than Allah. We deny all of you. Kafarna bikum. We deny all of you. I'm done with you. I have no loyalties left to you. But here, for these people, because he was showing compassion, Allah revealed to him again, Ya Ibrahim, a'rid an hadha. Let this be. Ibrahim alayhi salam, let this be. Innahu qad ja'a amru rabbika. No, when it comes to this, the fact of the matter is that the decision of your master has already come. This is the final verdict. These people are beyond saving now. وَإِنَّهُمْ آتِيهِمْ عَذَابٌ. And there is a punishment that is absolutely, it's as good as already come to them. آتِيهِمْ, interesting verb, or interesting noun. So a sarf, a little quiz for Arabic students that get, you know, weird in their sarf and forget stuff. أَتَا يَأْتِي إِتْيَانًا فَهُوَ آتٍ. Atin, and atin can become a mudaf, ati, and this is actually innahum ati is fi mahalli rafar. It's actually the rafar form of the word. It's strange because it's naqis, it's a ya atin. And the idafa of it, the ism fa'il with an idafa, I know I'm geeking out, but it's got to happen sometimes. So the idafa with the pronoun here, what does it do when you have an ism fa'il and a mudaf ilayh, like mulaqu rabbihim, or atihim, or qatiluhum, things like that. You know what that means? That means something's already done. So if I, for example, say, huwa Allahu khaliqu al-insani. Allahu khaliqu al-insani means Allah has already created the human being. But if he says, inni khaliqun basharan min tin, this is not idafa,
means I'm about to create a human being. That hasn't happened yet. Atihim is not atin iyahum. It's actually atihim. It's an idafa. So when the idafa happens, it's as good as done. It's as if Allah is describing it as something already done. That's the point. All the technicality leads to this. This is their way of telling Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is a decision. The conclusiveness of it is a foregone conclusion. It is past the point of negotiation or past the point of any delay. And it's a decision. The punishment is coming to him. Atihim adabun ghayru mardud. Innahum atihim adabun ghayru mardud. A punishment is coming to them that will not be taken away, that will not be cancelled. Radd is something that's taken back. Mardud, something that gets taken away or taken back. It will not, it's started, it's initiated, it will not be taken away. Now we come back. So I wanted to make sure you understand that Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't yet know. From these words we learned, Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't yet know that that's the final verdict and it's immediate. That which is why he negotiated. But once these words came, now he knows. Right? Which is similar to when Allah gave him the word about his father, then he knew he didn't make dua for him again. Now let's come back to the description of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the middle, which seems to be, now we understand the point. Allah allowed this conversation to happen for that point, just to highlight these qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Otherwise, the angels could have just come to him. They wouldn't have come inside the house. They wouldn't have waited for him to cook the food, because they would have said, Ibrahim, we're angels. We don't eat beef. Like, they could have just saved him a lot of barbecue trouble. They could have just, you know, and even one of them could have come at the door and said, you know, you're going to have a child. Goodbye. We got to go. And not tell him anything about the other mission. That could have been, Allah could have sent different angels to Ibrahim alayhi salam and different angels to the nation of Lut, right? But he planned this all to highlight one thing about Ibrahim alayhi salam, it seems. And that's why that description of Ibrahim alayhi salam is in the middle of both of the ayat about the nation of Lut. Right? In the middle of it is, Inna Ibrahima lahalimun awwahum munib. Like, that's this characteristic of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam emerges in this conversation. It is that important. And I would say it's that important because Allah Azza wa Jalla intends that the people who claim that they follow the religion of their father embody these qualities. They take these things and they make them theirs. And so let's explore the word we didn't explore yesterday, halimun. Hilm in the Arabic language has a couple of meanings. And actually, I had taken out my notes. I don't want to miss anything from it because there's a lot to read here, but I'm going to read just a little bit of it with you. So hilm is used for intellect also. In Arabic. So, أَتَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا? Right? أَحْلَام can here there be interpreted as intellect also. But it's a specific kind of intellect. It's different from حُكُم or عَقْل. It's actually الْعَقْل وَالْأَنَاتِ. رِفْقٌ وَنَوْعٌ مِنَ الرَّخَاوَ فِي الْأَثْنَاءِ يَتَمَثَّلُ فِي التَّرَوِّي وَالتَّدَبُّرِ قَبْلَ الْحُكُمِ. So, let me just give you an example. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I can't remember the judge's name. I've seen some short YouTube video clips of this really nice judge. I think he's in Massachusetts. But people come to him with a speeding ticket or like they come to him with like whatever. And he's like, so what'd you do? Sorry, sir. I cut a red light. I was really late. Why'd you do it? I was going to get fired. Okay, you seem like a good guy. Just don't do it again, okay? And he lets him go, right? So we all make dua. We get a judge like that if we ever get a ticket. But he's a wise judge. He's been a judge for many years. But he shows this like gentleness. Before he passes a decision, he's trying to be empathetic. He's trying to understand somebody's situation. Oh, you're a single mom. You've been working. It's hard for you, isn't it? Oh, okay. Oh, you're a young man. You just did something stupid because you have stupid friends. Otherwise, you're a good kid. Your parents tell me you're a good kid. He's trying to understand the background and trying to understand, okay, you messed up, but that doesn't define you, right? This is a mistake in your life, but it doesn't define you. And he's trying to humanize the person. He could also just read the book, the law, and just look at the rule and says, well, you're going to jail. Next, you jail also. Next, death penalty. He could do that, but what's he doing? He's humanizing the people that are coming before him, right? So before, the way I want you to think about the word hilm is before he exercises hukum, before he exercises his judgment, there's a softness and there's an attempt to understand the other and see things from the other's point of view. And to actually humanize the other, and to actually understand maybe there's a reason they messed up. Maybe there's a reason he slipped up. Maybe there's a reason she cut the red light. This is not who they normally are, and something must have happened, right? And there's this this is actually Hilm. And note, imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam is being described as Halim towards a people that are openly committing fahsha, and he's like, well, yes, they, as a society, they're shameless. As a society, they are openly, you know, adamant against the fitrah of Allah, and they're engaged in all kinds of lewdness. However, maybe someone in there is just doing that because they're just pressured by their whole society. Maybe they feel bad about it. Maybe they've done something and they're guilty inside and they just want to find a way back. Maybe they're just scared to accept that it's wrong because it's politically incorrect. Everybody else, they know how much people hate Lut when he stands up against it. So maybe they're just scared, you know? Maybe some of them are just haven't really thought about it. They're just going with the flow with everybody and they never stop to think for themselves. And if they did, they'd realize it. Maybe they just haven't had a chance. Like, he's trying to see things from, I don't know how else to put it. He's trying to see things from the sinner's point of view without thinking of them as a sinner. He's thinking of them as a human being first, who slips up. This is actually hilm. This is actually hilm. And from this word in the Arabic language, we also get a few other extractions. So this is actually al-halim. The word is used actually for someone who has lutf, has a lot of softness. Actually, halam was also used for soft, tender meat of animals. Gentleness in animals. And how would you know an animal has tender flesh? When you press into it a little bit, right? So the idea is experiencing something and understanding that, or having gentleness inside it. Hulm is used for الرؤية في المنام أمور لطيفة أي خفية تجري في عقل النائم. So hulm is a word for dream, right? And it's specifically a kind of dream that has very gentle messages in it. Can be actually, or hard to grasp, or you have to really think about it before you grasp it, that could be considered hulm. So the idea is, yes, it has to do with intellect, but it has to do with an empathetic intellect. Now, the characteristic of halim is one of the most rare qualities to be found in human beings. Rare qualities. Because if somebody walks in drunk right now, just imagine, somebody walked into the masjid drunk right now, smelling like alcohol, cursing, whatever, and they passed out right here in front of us. We're like, astaghfirullah, you know. But wait, this guy came into the masjid. Why of all places did he come into the masjid? Right? So there's some internal conflict with this person. Why did he get drunk? You know, people usually get drunk to forget something. Right? What's he trying to forget? What pain is he running away from? This person needs help. Before he needs my judgment that Allah considers drinking haram, this masjid, the masjid is a sacred place, this is like, before I can pass all my own, you know, moral judgments on this person, because I sit on this morally superior throne where I get to tell other people how disgusting they are, right? How beneath me they are. Before I do that, I have to first think a little bit about, before I pass judgment, why did this happen? What pain is person not able to deal with that they turn to this, right? And maybe if they had Allah in their life, or they had support of people who remember Allah, that they would have shown Allah's rahmah to them, right? So the people who have the iman in Allah have to have the hilm of Ibrahim alayhi salam also, right? You have to when somebody falls, instead of kicking them harder, how dare you fall? You're disgusting, don't ever show your face again because you fell. Instead of that, how about, hey, you fell, let me pick you up. Let me not humiliate you because you already feel embarrassed enough. Let me pick you up. Let me give you empathy. Let me try and understand why this happened. Let's help make sure this never happens again. And then when you see someone in that position, instead of thinking, wow, how disgusting, I would never be like that. Well, are you sure about that? لا تزكوا أنفسكم. Don't consider yourselves so pure. You know, I'm reminded of a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, لا تؤذوا المؤمنين لا تؤذوا المسلمين ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم. Like, don't cause Muslims pain. Don't cause other Muslims pain. And don't become obsessed with their private situations. Right? Don't become obsessed. Because you know what? When you can't find, nowadays what happens, when you can't find faults in someone, you're like, I'm going to dig deeper until I find something. I got to find something. Right? He says, وَمَن تَتَبَّعَ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ
You know, if whoever becomes obsessed with the private life of their Muslim brother, تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ, then Allah will take special interest in their private life. وَمَنْ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ يَفْضَحُ. You know, وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْتِهِ. Allah says, the Prophet says, and whoever, if Allah takes special interest in your private life, Allah will publicly humiliate you even if you're in the most private part of your home. All because you became obsessed with somebody else's fault. Right? The opposite of that is al-Halim. And then some people came to me and said, but the Prophet ﷺ said this, don't do this with Muslims, so we can do this with kuffar, right? Because he only said, don't do this with Muslims. Let me give you an example. If two brothers were having a fight, and the dad came and said, that's your brother, don't hit him like that. Is your dad saying, that's your brother, don't hit him like that. Go to school, whoever else, first face you find, go hit him instead. Is that what he's saying? You dummy. He's saying, for the people who deserve your best manners are in the family. And then when you learn that, then you will become a decent human being everywhere else too. So the fact that Allah, the Prophet is telling the Muslims to be this way, is you can't even be that with yourselves. How are you going to be an example to humanity? That's the point that's being made. It's not being made, take care of Muslims, humiliate everyone else. That's not the point that's being made. But that's just inside the word Halim. An empathy, an understanding of someone else before you pass judgment. A humanizing of the other before you pass judgment. You know, becoming a passionate and self-righteous and, you know, I hate the word activist, but yeah, like becoming an activist for a cause against someone. Oh, I can't believe they said this. Oh, this guy, you know what he said? Oh, I have a video clip of what she said. Look at what she said. Oh, we gotta, wait, is that all this human being, what they said? Is this all they ever said? Is there no other part of their existence that should go into the equation before we, you know, before we chew them alive? You know, before we attack them like a moth, you know? This is the mob mentality that goes against the very nature of being al-Halim. He says, Inna Ibrahim al-Halimun. Awahun, he feels the pain of others. He cries to Allah praying for others. He's delicate to the suffering of others. And that's inside the word awahun. And then, look at the last one, munib. Munib. What's munib? The one who, munib is someone who turns to Allah spiritually. Like turning back to Allah. This has two meanings. You see the suffering of others, you see the fall or the slip of others, you see the sins of others. First thing it does is it reminds you, Ya Allah, I have my own sins. I turn back to you and seeking forgiveness for my own sins. Like before I say, Ya Allah, forgive these people, they really need it. All those people, oh my God, yes, Ya Allah. Chances are you won't forgive them, but please forgive them too. As if you already got the ticket. You don't got the ticket. You got to be munib yourself. I've got to turn back to Allah and say, Ya Allah, what they're doing, but I need to look at myself. I need to turn back. Ibrahim alayhi salam, being in the maqam that he's in, he's munib, he's turning to Allah for himself first. But actually, Allah has given us a profound hint. Those who truly turn to Allah in sincere repentance, they are never judgmental and insensitive to others first. Halim and Awah are first, munib is third. Halim, Awah, munib. You can't go to the masjid. My wife told me a funny story. She went to a masjid with me and there were women just talking about other women and other whatever gossip was going on. And then all of a sudden, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. I got to see. You can't, no. That's not, you can't like sit there and rip each other to shreds and talk bad about each other and complain about, and then I just want to make istighfar to Allah. Bro. Where's the Halim? Where's the Awah? Let's get those two. Then we can talk about how authentic you being munib is. You understand? Like the third one, turning back to Allah, predicates the first two in the character of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because if on the one hand, you're like zahid and worshiping and prayer and this and that, but your dealings with people, your thoughts about people, your opinions of people, you know, you're so harsh towards people inside of your thoughts, inside of your heart, inside of your mind, and then on your tongue too. In the way you look at people too, if you're so condescending and insensitive,
How are you bringing a soft heart to Allah? Now we understand, we go further back, we understand something Ibrahim said when he left his own father. He said, nothing will benefit a person on Judgment Day except the one who comes before Allah with a qalb salim. Illa man atallaha bi qalbin salim. A sound, a healthy heart. Now it's as if these three qualities are guaranteeing a healthy heart. So there we said, healthy heart. I wonder, how do you get a healthy heart? Oh, okay, you have to be halim, awah, munib. Then you get a healthy heart. You see? So we have to bring these qualities back into our own lives. You and I have to bring these qualities back into the way we consume things, the way we form opinions about things. Look, social media culture is about making pass judgment quickly. Pass judgment quickly and spread your judgment quickly. Spread your opinion quickly. Don't take the time to humanize anyone or anything. Don't take the time to feel the pain of any of both sides. No, there's no both sides. There's only one side always. The side that I think is right. That's it. Right? We got to step back from that and develop this. And it's only in doing so, if we don't want Allah, we want Allah to consider all of the factors when showing us rahmah that we messed up. Ya Allah, I am weak. I became weak because of this, this, this. These were my darkest moments. This is how I fell. This is how I slipped. This is how I spiraled downwards into darkness and darkness and darkness. And you're the one who pulls me out of many darknesses and brings me back into light. That's you, Ya Rab. You know, and you know what darknesses I've been in. You expect Allah to know all of that and consider all of that when you make your pleas, but you don't want to give that consideration to anybody else. There's a bit of a hypocrisy. There's a bit of a internal contradiction. So I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal makes us people that embody these powerful qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And please, I don't need you to, like, those of you that are watching online, I don't need you to spread this video, but spread this message. Spread these qualities. Live them and spread them among each other. This is needed in your family. It's needed among your friends. This is needed in your community. And when someone's violating that, take a step back, pull them aside and say, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam used to be like this. We should try to be like that too. On the side, not humiliating someone, just, you know, learn to humanize. Learn to humanize. Learn to feel somebody else's pain. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us all sensitive to that. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us a source of rahmah and closeness to Allah for each other. And may Allah not make us a fitna for each other, that because of each other, we turn away from Allah and His deen. Barakallah.